Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Augusta Road Church of Christ, especially our visitors. We would hope that you would hang around after services and let us get to know you better. I'd like to welcome those who are watching on Facebook or listening to our audio stream on our website. We would hope that you would come and visit us at the first opportunity that you have, and so we can get to know you. We'd love to meet you. Tonight, we're going to talk about a topic that is applicable to Christians of all ages. Whether you are a 13-year-old Christian or a 93-year-old Christian, this topic applies to you because it's something that Christians of all ages should be doing. The topic that we're going to discuss tonight is spiritual growth. Now, the reason spiritual growth is so important is because if something isn't growing, then it's dying. If you think about anything that's living, whether it's an animal or a plant, if it stops growing, it starts dying. You think about, you have a puppy, and you're feeding this puppy and taking care of this puppy, eventually it's going to grow up into an adult dog. But if this puppy ever quits getting fed, if it quits receiving nutrients that it needs, it's eventually going to become malnourished and pass away. If you plant a tree and you fertilize this tree and it gets water and sunlight, it's going to grow up into a full-grown tree. But if this tree quits getting nutrients that it needs, it's going to die and wither away. It works the same way with our spiritual growth. If we're not growing spiritually, then we will start dying spiritually, and we will eventually wither away. And none of us want to die spiritually, and that's why this topic is so important, because we should always be trying to grow spiritually. So, the first question is, when does spiritual growth start? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking with a Pharisee named Nicodemus who has come to visit him, and is asking him questions. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus is very confused because he's thinking in a physical sense. He's thinking, do I literally have to be physically born again? And look at what Jesus says in verse 5. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus says that we have to be born of water and Spirit. What Jesus is describing here is baptism. We are born of water because we are fully immersed in water and brought up in baptism. We are born of spirit because now we have crucified the old man, buried him, and come up as a Christian. And now we live a new life because we are Christian and we are committed to following Christ. So we are born again when we are baptized, and so now we are a spiritual newborn. So what should we do after we are baptized? We're a spiritual newborn. What's next? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Peter here is writing this letter to Christians, and he tells the newborn babes, this would be your new Christians, to drink the pure milk of the word. Now, what is the pure milk of the word? This would be easy concepts of Christianity. This would be learning the difference between right and wrong, being able to distinguish between good and evil. Things like we see in Galatians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Being able to tell that those things are wrong, and then being able to say if something is right or something is wrong. Should I do this? Should I not do this? This would be the milk of the word. But we can't stay on milk forever. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the Bible says here that if we only drink milk, we're a babe. And that's okay for those of us who are new Christians because we are babes in Christ and we should be drinking the milk. But for those of us who are not new Christians, we should be moving off of the milk and moving to solid food. This would be deeper things like evangelism and benevolence and teaching those who are more immature Christians, teaching the new Christians and helping to bring them along to where they can move off milk and move to eating solid food. So, the question tonight is, how do we transition from drinking the milk to eating the solid food? The answer is we grow. So tonight I want to look at three ways three things that can help us to grow, and I want to look at three things that can keep us from growing as Christians. So, the first thing that can help us to grow is studying God's Word. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The King James Version says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." So the Bible commands us in this verse to study. It also tells us that we need to rightly divide the word of truth, which means that when we study, we need to understand what we're studying. We need to keep it in context and really dig into what this means, who's it written to, so that we can really grasp what the verse is talking about, so that way we don't twist it or take it to mean something that it doesn't mean. So turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 18. The Bible says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We're commanded here to grow in grace and knowledge. How do you grow in knowledge? You have to study the Bible. That's the only way you're going to grow in knowledge. And you only learn about things by studying. If you want to learn more about American history, you're going to find books on American history and study those books. Or if you want to know more about algebra, you're going to look at algebra textbooks and figure out how to do algebra. It works the same way with the Bible. If we want to know more about spiritual things, we have to study the Bible, because the Bible is what tells us about spiritual things. So, turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Bible tells us here that all Scripture is inspired. What that literally means is that when we read the Word of God, it is literally like God speaking to us. And it tells us that if we study and obey God's Word, that we may be complete, which means that there's nothing else for us to have. We are whole. We are 100% complete if we study and obey Scripture. So, the first thing that we can do to help us grow spiritually is study God's Word. The second thing is work in the church. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Paul is writing this letter to the Christians at the city of Ephesus. And he tells them that they are Christ's workmanship, which means that all Christians are Christ's workmanship. Christ is in heaven, and so we are Christ's hands and feet on this earth. And so he wants us to do his work. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul tells the Christians at Corinth to always be doing the work of the Lord. You should be consistently doing the work of the Lord. He tells all Christians to be doing the work of the Lord. So the Bible makes it very clear that we are supposed to work. In Matthew chapter 25, you would be turning over there, Jesus tells a parable of a master and who had three servants. And before the master went away on a trip, he gave each one of his servants a certain number of talents. He gave his first servant 5 talents, his second servant 2 talents, and his third servant 1 talent. And he went away, and he came back, and he asked about what the man had done with their talents. And the 5-talent man had went and invested his talent, and he now had 10 talents. The 2-talent man had went and invested his talents, and he now had 4 talents. But I want to look at what the 1-talent man did. We'll start reading in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 24. "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, Here you have what is yours. The one talent man had not went and used his talent, and he basically said, I was afraid of you, and so I hid it, and so now you can just have it back. Look at the Lord's reaction in verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. The Lord was very displeased with this one talent man because he had not used what the master had given him. So unpleased that in verse 30, it says that he cast the one talent man into darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we apply this parable to us today, the master is God, and God gives each of us talents. Some of us may have more talents than others. Some of us might be 5-talent people or 2-talent people or 1-talent people. But the point is that God gives each one of us talents, and he expects us to use those talents in the work of the church. It is up to us to identify our talents and figure out how we can use it to help the church. You know, maybe you get along really well with kindergartners and first graders. A great way to use that talent is to teach the kindergarten and first grade Bible class. Or maybe you have a talent for encouraging people. You can use that to help the church by finding Christians who are struggling, and you can encourage those Christians. Whatever your talent is, you need to identify it and think of how you can use it to help the church. So, we study God's word, we use our talents to work in the church, and number 3, we worship God acceptably. Now, before we can worship God acceptably, we have to be at worship. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, as so much more as you see the day approaching. This verse makes it very clear that we are not supposed to skip worship services. We are supposed to be here at Bible study, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, and Wednesday night Bible study. This verse makes it clear that if our elders decided to have a service every night of the week, not only on Sunday and Wednesday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that God would expect us to be here at all of those services. Now I want to look at verse number 26, because it ties back into verse 25. It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. It's very interesting that right after he gets done talking about skipping services, he says, for if we sin willfully. Verse 25 is not talking about people who are sick. It's not talking about people who are shut in. Verse 25 is talking about people who deliberately make the decision not to come to worship services. Verse 25 is talking about people who say, I'm tired on Sunday morning, so I'm not going to come to worship because I don't really feel like it. Verse 25 is talking about people who say, I have a ball game on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and it's more important than worship service, so I'm going to go to my ball game. Verse 25 is talking about people who go on vacation, and it gets to Wednesday night, and they say, I'm on vacation, I don't have to go to Wednesday night Bible study. This is what verse 25 is talking about. And we always need to be at worship service if we can. Because if we're not at worship service, we miss out on a bunch of really good things. We miss out on the encouragement we get from being with other Christians, the fellowship that we have with each other, and the teaching that we hear from the sermon, from the singing. We miss the prayers of people. We miss taking the Lord's Supper. We miss giving back to the Lord. These are all things that we miss whenever we skip services. So, we have to be at worship. Now, once we're at worship, we have to do it acceptable in God's sight. Turn to John chapter 4 and verse 24. John chapter 4 and verse 24. Jesus says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there's two aspects to us worshiping God acceptably. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, truth means that we have to do it the way that the Bible says it has to be done. We sing without mechanical instruments, we pray, we preach, we take the Lord's Supper, and we give of our means. That's doing it in truth. But it also says we have to do it in spirit. And this gets into the idea that we have to do it with the right attitude. We have to have a reverent and respectful attitude because we are worshiping the Creator of the universe. We need to come here with the attitude that I'm here to worship God. We're not here to hang out with our friends. Even though fellowship is a good thing, that's not the main reason we're here. We're not here to play on our phones or pass notes or goof off. We are here to worship God. When the preaching is going on, we're listening to the preaching. when the singing is going on, we're singing and we're listening to the words because we're teaching each other with the words of the music. Whenever we take the Lord's Supper, we're thinking back to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Whenever we give, we're thinking about how God has blessed us and how we have the privilege of giving back to Him. We need to be focused when we worship. So that's all tied up into worshiping acceptably, doing it in truth and doing it in spirit. So three things that can help us grow is study God's word, use our talents to work in the church, and worship God acceptably. Now I want to look at three things that can hinder our spiritual growth, that can keep us from growing. Number one is hate of other people. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, in 1 John chapter 1, the Bible spends a lot of time talking about walking in the light. And this is describing Christians who are living faithfully to God. And here it describes someone who hates his brother as walking in darkness. Whenever darkness is used describing something, it is always associated with evil and sin. And light is always associated with good and God. And so whenever you hate your brother, you are living in sin. And hating your brother keeps you from doing a lot of things. If you come to worship and you hate your brother, can you really worship in spirit because you're worried about the person on the other side of the auditorium who you hate? Can you work with that person to help spread the gospel? Because you hate that person, I'm not working with that person because I hate them. How are you going to be able to work to spread the gospel? Hating other people is something that's very detrimental to the work of the church and very detrimental to your spiritual growth. All right, so hate of other people. Number two, ungodly friends. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. The Bible says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." This verse tells us that if we're always around evil company, that they will corrupt us. They will influence us and take us away from God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Proverbs was written by a king of Israel named Solomon, who God blessed with exceedingly great wisdom because God asked him, "What do you want?" And Solomon said, "Wisdom." And God blessed him with wisdom. Solomon is the wisest man other than Christ to ever walk the face of the earth. And look what he says in verse 14. He says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on." He says, don't do the things that the wicked people do. Don't act the way that they act. Don't get close to their path. Don't walk anywhere near it. This verse goes along with Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. Where the Bible says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. When your friends tempt you to do things that you know are wrong, don't give in, whether you're at school or work or anywhere for that matter. Don't give in to what they want you to do." These verses don't mean that we can't have friends that don't try to obey God. But these verses do tell us that we need to have our guard up and be watchful and be very thoughtful about what we are doing. We also need to look for opportunities to teach our friends who are not Christians and not obeying the Lord about the gospel. Teach them the gospel and try to bring them to Christ. So, we have hate of other people, ungodly friends, and number three, selfishness. Turn to James chapter 3 and verse 16. James chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." This verse says that if self-seeking is somewhere, then evil is there, which means that selfishness always leads to sin. If you think about any sin that you can commit, it always works back to selfishness. If I go to a bank and I rob that bank, why did I rob that bank? I robbed it because I wanted to get rich and go buy a bunch of stuff. If I skip out on worship service, if I deliberately choose not to come to worship service, it's because I wanted to do something other than come and worship God. Any sin that you can think of goes back to selfishness. There's an illustration that I heard recently, and I like it. And the illustration is that I is always in the middle of sin. And it's very true. Turn to Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Jesus tells us that we can't be selfish and follow him. And we have to deny ourselves. Now, a lot of people are okay as long as what they want, what Christ wants, lines up and matches up. They're completely fine with it. But as soon as what they want and what Christ wants doesn't match up, they have a problem. Because they don't want to deny themselves and follow Christ. Christ says, if you truly want to follow me, you've got to get rid of your selfishness and do what I want to do. Do what I want you to do. So tonight, my question to you is, are you growing spiritually? And you might be sitting there thinking, well, you know, how did I know that? You know, we measure things here physically. I can take a tape measure and measure somebody, and they're 5'10" now, and 6 months later, they're 6'2", and they've grown 3 inches. I can see that growth, but my spiritual growth, I don't have a ruler that I can measure my spiritual growth. Well, tonight, I have some questions for you that might be able to help. Are you a better Christian now than you were 1 month ago, or 3 months ago, or 6 months ago? Am I a better example to people around me than I was in the past? Do I make it easier for people to be Christians around me than I did in the past? What am I doing now that I wasn't doing 6 months ago? Am I doing more for the Lord? Am I using my talents in his work? Tonight, if you answer yes to these questions, you're growing spiritually. And that's good, and you need to keep doing what you're doing. If you answer no to these questions, you're not growing spiritually, and you're dying spiritually, which is not good. Because if you're dying, you'll eventually pass away spiritually, and none of us want to do that. It's important to realize that our spiritual growth is, that everybody's spiritual growth is not the same. Some people may grow faster spiritually than others, but the point that God wants us to get is that everybody should be growing spiritually. Some people's graph may look like this. Some people may look like this. Some people may look like this. But what God doesn't want is people who look like this or people who look like this. God expects us all to grow spiritually. And tonight, if you're not growing spiritually, you can make that right by coming forward and repenting of your sins. The Bible tells us that if we repent, God is faithful and just to forgive us. Or maybe you can't grow spiritually because you're not alive spiritually, because you've never been born again. You can be born again tonight. You can be saved by doing these 5 things. You have to hear the word, Romans 10:17, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Mark 16:16, repent of your sins, Luke 13:3, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Then you are born again, you begin your Christian life, you are a newborn babe, and begin drinking the milk of the word and growing. And then God tells us that we are to grow and live faithfully. Revelation 2:10, he tells us that if we live a faithful life, that he will give us a crown of life. If you have a need, come forward while we stand and sing.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.